This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fine. Intern Ryan does not have the Periscope up. We're experiencing technical difficulties. It's not his fault. It's okay. He's in the building as well. Cameron?
Yes.
How are you, my friend?
I am excellent. I have returned from war victorious. I did what had to be done. And I powered my team to a victory.
You did good, Cam.
That second half comeback. I was the only one I think stood up the entire game. Even after a lady was like, hey, can you please sit down? I can't see. I was like, ma'am, you can stand up. You can switch seats with your husband. But the team needs me. I'm staying up until we win this game.
Did you actually tell her that?
Not exactly that. Okay. But I was like, hey.
He thought it.
I was like, hey, like, I understand that, but hey, I'm short too. If other people stand up, I'm in trouble, and I paid enough money for these seats. I'm a stand up, man. I'm a stander.
And what'd she say? She was like, okay?
Yeah, she was like, okay. I was like, I'll do my best, but I'm going to be standing. Like,
yeah, that happened to me at the baseball game. Like, it was weird. You know, I wanted to stand up a lot, like, the baseball game. Like, I talked about that last week about how, you know, the energy was not as good as we kind of pretend like it was. So, you know, especially game one. I mean, it's 1-1, 2-1. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to stand up. We're right down the front trying to kind of make a difference. And there's people like, hey, down in front. And I looked, and granted, it wasn't an LSU fan that said it. It was a woman. I mean, she was middle-aged, 40, 45, somewhere in there, 50 maybe. I don't know. And I was kind of just like, really?
You should just like go to a different seat.
Well, I was just kind of like, I just looked back and was like, really? I was like, are you sure?
Yeah,
no. And then, like, some people behind us were just like, no, you're fine. Keep standing up. So I was like, all right, we're going to keep standing up. Like, I was trying not to be rude, but I was trying to gauge, like, the interest because I didn't want to be annoying. Like, tell this guy, like, no, because, you know.
Yeah, I didn't want to be disrespectful. Like, she was trying to see the game, too. She was a Hawks fan. I was like, yeah, I understand that. But also, like, I got to do what I got to do.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't know what the nice thing to do is to probably sit down.
Yeah.
That's probably the nice thing to do if you want to be courteous. But then if everyone sits down, there's not going to be the home court atmosphere.
Yeah, if I sit down, we don't win that game.
And like you said, you bought the tickets. You should be able to do whatever the hell you want.
And she could have jumped up and down. She was with a guy, like, you could have swapped seats. Like, she was even like two rows behind me. I was like, I'm not really blocking you that much. But
you should have said, do you want to switch seats? Like, I'll come two rows back if you'll just, like, leave me alone. Like,
she didn't say anything, like, after that. And she kind of just, like, asked me, like, at the end of the first half. So, like, I was like, I'm going to stand there. I'll probably still be standing up, but.
Well, credit to you because, you know, I do think when you pay your ticket, you should be allowed. I mean.
Yeah. You should know that's, like, a possibility that someone's going to be standing in front of you, I feel like.
Especially for a playoff game. Yeah. I feel like a playoff game, you know, obviously the Super Region. I feel like we got some different rules here.
Mm-hmm.
At least I feel like we do. Now, granted, we're all still relatively young, so. We're able to kind of bring that energy. I don't know how we'll feel when we're, you know, 55 or 60. Like,
yeah.
I think I'll still be wanting to stand and go wild, but maybe not.
I do feel like a baseball game's a little different, man. Those things are three and a half hours long sometimes.
I don't think a college baseball game's different.
It's a little different.
College, you should still be able to, you know, wild out a little bit. Yeah. But
I actually think of postseason baseball isn't like the thing. Like, you live and die with every pitch. Like, every ball feels like a potential rally's getting started.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way I feel about, like, playoff baseball in Major League Baseball. That's what I've always thought. You know, walks a rally in playoff baseball. You don't want to walk anybody. So, I actually feel like there's more, like, living and dying with every play than in basketball. You're like, okay, it's the second quarter, bro. There's 11 minutes left. Like, chill out a little bit. Like, that would be, like, a different argument. But, like, you know what I mean? You saw what happened in... You know, the fifth inning or sixth inning on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just had a guy, you know, had a whole pitching staff completely unravel.
Yeah.
So the game could be lost, you know, easily. Like, you know, first inning, you know, Tennessee hits a 2-run bomb and kind of sets the tone early and scores there. So, you know, baseball is a little different, but it does feel like playoff baseball. Like, every time I see it on TV, people are just going wilder almost the whole time. But credit to you, Cam, for standing your ground. It's always very awkward because you don't want
to
be mean.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I was trying to be respectful, but also, like, I'm still standing up.
Especially, I mean, a playoff game, I imagine you pay, you know, a couple $100 for that ticket, I mean, to be there. So, like, you want to have the full experience yourself.
Yeah. I'm always on 10 when I go to sporting events, too. So, I was very, very engaged. Even when we're down in the second half and everybody else is sitting down, I'm trying to start chants. I'm still trying to pump up the crowd.
Yes, sir.
Had to do what I had to do, you know. Had to will out that victory.
Credit to you, man. You called it. You said they don't lose when you're there. You didn't lose hope. I mean, even
I didn't. I was like, oh, we're shooting 28%. We're only down 10. Give me that. Give me that. I was like, let's go. The Sixers fans next to me were so, like, annoyed that I was unbothered by, like, all their comments about, like, them being up and stuff. And then, yeah, it was nice to see the despair just come across their face as their lead slowly evaporated. And John Collins out here just putting back almost everything and them just seeing it float away. Seeing it float away like a Trae Young floater.
Man. I could not be that positive. Second half, we're down 18. I'm like, okay, I'm thinking about leaving. Well, I'm figuring out my plan to get out of there.
To be fair, there wasn't the 18-point lead was like with about 3 minutes left in the first half. So they
be like, okay, especially you just got killed in game three. Like,
but I was gonna say the Hawks got to 13.5 and then came out and immediately got to 10. So I mean, like, it was kind of just hovered around 10 the whole second half until you made your move. So yeah, I mean, if the Hawks would have gone back down, you know, 18 or 20 in the second half, it probably wouldn't have been the same. Although Cam, I feel like, still would have brought the energy.
Yeah, he
would have.
Oh yeah.
For better or worse, Cam is loyal to a fault and optimistic to a fault. As he, you know, came in and was really sad after Julio had gotten traded, even though they had talked about it for a month. Like, he kept holding out hope that it wasn't going to happen. So I do think Cam still would have been bringing the energy down 18. But I was really impressed. You made it in time. You made it in 3 hours. I was shocked by that.
With plenty of time.
Yeah, I was in the city at like 6. Like, I was driving by the CNN Center like at like 6. Like,
yeah, I feel like you sent me a picture of you parking at 6:10. I was like, what the hell?
Yep.
Damn.
And you're telling me you didn't speed. You don't speed at all. Is that what you're telling
I think he lied to us about that.
I sped within the law.
Right.
You hit 85 multiple times.
Well, when the speed limits.
70. 85 is not legal speeding. You hit 85 at least. It's fine. We're not going to snitch on you. I feel like they're not going to come arrest you, but you definitely sped. You lied to us.
You can still make it there in 3 hours. Like,
no,
you
not speeding.
You can do it. Yeah. Well, I think I'm hitting less than 3 hours. If we're ever being technical. It was great. Great atmosphere. I was really happy with that. It was actually sold out, and it actually was mainly Atlanta people, too. So I was very proud to see that, happy to see that. I'm glad the team's the city's embracing the team like this. They could use it. And man, I did what I had to do. Trae Young just loves me there. Like, second time I'd seen Trae Young live, first time career high in points, second time career high in assists. Maybe I'm his good luck charm.
I mean, he didn't shoot very well, so I don't know how much he loved you, but like he bought out. I still think he bought out.
He did what he had to do.
A warrior out there. I mean, that shoulder. How did he even play? What a guy.
Right? Yeah. He didn't even really complain about like Embiid after the game.
What
a
soldier.
Wow.
What the hell are you talking about? Shoulder? Warrior. What did he do to his shoulder?
Like a huge you
didn't
see
it? Yeah, he said he hurt his shoulder in game 3, which nobody knew about it.
Yeah, that's about to say. I never heard that.
Well, he said he didn't talk about it because he didn't want to bring it up because he didn't want them to try to hold him out. And Nate McMillan said after the game, like, I had no idea he was hurt until he got in the pregame lineup and had that.
Really?
Because he had, like, the athletic tape on his shoulder, and then, like, when he was on the bench, he had, like, huge, like, ice packs that, like, and you'll see put, like, on knees and pitchers, like, will wear and stuff. But it was weird. And he said that wasn't why he was missing shots. It's probably the nerves and the juices going, but didn't shoot well at all, but I still thought he kind of controlled.
He was a little better in the second half, of course, too. Like, he had some terrible shots in the first half.
But I mean, last minute and 20 of the game, he outscored the Sixers 6-2 for the win. Yep. I mean, that's really all you can
what
ask
for. What you need from your star. So, and
whereas Embiid, man.
That was hilarious. Oh, man. Bad.
I don't know if he did something to tweak his knee in the first half. He went to the locker room, and it looked like, okay, he might be out for the rest of the game, the rest of the series. He came back in. When he came back in, they went on a run. You're like, oh, well, never mind. So much for that. Mm-hmm. But then in the second half, I don't know if it locked up at halftime. I don't know if the defense was a little bit different. The Hawks did go with a different lineup. They went a little bigger, yep, which is something to keep an eye on because they won the minutes that they had Collins, Capella, and Gallinari out there, just, yeah, kind of a big three.
I did like that.
Trying to have, you know, a bunch of size on there to kind of combat the Sixers, and that did – changed the game, and it did kind of lead to a comeback. So
especially when John Collins can hit the offensive glass like that in, yeah, that situation.
Which I don't know if the offensive glass crashing would be the same if Embiid isn't hobbled, because Embiid's, yeah, not getting, yeah, a lot of lift. So like Collins was able to take advantage of it, and man, like you had a couple of just monster jams.
Oh man,
from Collins. That was a fun game. It's been a nice little stretch here between Tennessee baseball taking care of business with good crowds, and then my Hawks taking care of business, mm-hmm, with a good crowd. 2-2 going back to Philly. I will say that there's a couple of things here that gives you hope, because from here on out, every game is every other day, so there's no, yep, extra rest. And if Embiid's, yep, limping around that knee, like, how good can it be tomorrow?
And I think Trey can, like, even with that shoulder, I think he can do similar stuff to what he did this last game and just help his teammates out and get those assists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, if Embiid is healthy and scoring, like, they're mm-hmm, fine. But, like, when you saw last night, Embiid wasn't healthy, he wasn't scoring, and then you looked around, it's like, okay, well, Ben Simmons isn't really doing anything anymore, and, like, Tobias, mm-hmm, can't, like, necessarily create all the time, and Seth Curry needs to run around a bunch of screens, so it does go back to kind of the Sixers of the past having the problem of not having any spacing.
Yeah, and what I noticed a lot too was Embiid seemed to be settling a lot for jumpers.
Well, I think that's,
yeah,
because he don't have any lift. Yeah, like, you saw at the end he tried to go in for that layup and missed it. You know,
yeah,
he can't point blank, the rim,
right?
Yeah. Like, he was on the first ground more than standing up.
Yeah, for,
well,
sure.
That's how it's been the whole series. Yeah. That's why people have been booing him. But like, yeah, you know, his only points in the second half came from free throws. I thought he was going to, mm-hmm, get fouled on that last play and get to shoot two game winning free throws. That's what I had seen happening, but.
Yeah.
The refs, to their credit, didn't fall for a lot of the flopping either way, yep, I didn't think. So that was a fun game. And, you know, if you're the Sixers, you're like, okay, well, we lost a close game. Embiid went 0-for-12, so we'll be fine.
Blew an 18-point lead.
Or you'll be like, oh, wait, Embiid can't move anymore, and this could be really bad if they come up here and, yep, steal game five tomorrow, and then we have to go back to Atlanta the day after that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he said after the game, Embiid, how he wasn't 100%, said, yeah, he wasn't, mm-hmm, feeling well. Or
yeah, he talked about it. Right. Yeah, no, he said himself, like, hey, I don't have any lift. My knees hurt. I think you guys know that, which, yeah, is, I think it's true. Like, I mean, I don't think it's making excuses because he obviously isn't,
but it's
healthy.
Like, we're also not saying this when he's dropping 40 points
and
in
he's
the first
dancing,
two games.
Right.
Exactly. That's my problem with it. It's, well, like, that's why let's go both ways with it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's why I was asking. Maybe he got hurt in the first half because he did go to the locker room.
Yeah.
And, like, they, you know, the reporters were like, you know, he's in the locker room. Elton Brand's back there. Like, who knows what happened? I don't know if they tried to get him a cortisone shot. Surely they're not doing that. Like,
yeah.
But like, if you're the Sixers, man, you have to stop at some point. Be like, I might be ruining this guy's career. Like, yeah, a meniscus for a big 7-footer, like, is,
yep,
not, yep, something to be playing with. And he's out there, like, laboring. But, yeah, I don't know if he hurt it again or if it was just, it's, you know, the wear and tear of four straight games or what. But, yeah, after the game, talking about it and saying, well, I'm not healthy, that's, I don't have any lift, blah, blah, blah. Like,
man, I'm glad my Warrior powers through injuries. Doesn't even talk about him.
Hey, like I said, Trey, the big shoulder thing I thought was a nice move. Like, hey, make sure everyone knows, like, icing this bad boy up. Let's go.
Ice Trey.
But at the same time, like, he did after the game, you know, after going 8-for-26, was like, hey, I'm not blaming my shooting on my arm. I had good looks. The shots just weren't going in.
Guy.
I got to be better at knocking down my shots. Like,
what a guy.
That's one way to say it. While Embiid's like, you know, it's not getting any lift.
I'm hurt. Yeah, it doesn't help that I lay on the ground for 30 minutes after I get bumped.
A lot of pressure on Ben Simmons. Like, you talk about Kevin Durant tonight and the pressure, like, Simmons and Tobias, like, going back to Philly.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those crowds we talk about here in Knoxville, like, right, if you host Florida,
yep,
and things start going wrong poorly, any football game, anything's going wrong poorly, you start panicking, the crowd starts groaning.
Mm-hmm.
If Embiid's hobbled and Tobias comes out and shoots a couple bricks or Simmons isn't being very aggressive, that Philly crowd, mm-hmm, might turn on these boys. And, you know, you might have a different series, but a lot of pressure on Ben Simmons to be that guy.
Yeah, Simmons wasn't very aggressive. He only, like, when he gets, like, fast breaks is the only time he ever seems to do anything.
Right.
Outside of that, he's just kind of almost there on offense. It's weird. And Tobias, like, he was pretty solid first three quarters, but he didn't score in the fourth.
Right, and he had a bad turnover, just dribbled, yep, the ball off his foot.
Yeah.
During a big moment. Like, yep, there was a grinding halt, and the playoffs have brought this back, so, like, the intensity of the playoffs has brought some pretty bad stretches of basketball, just, mm-hmm, where it feels like every shot that goes in is actually like, wow, a big moment. Whereas, yeah, in the regular season, you know, teams are scoring 120, 130, yeah, points. The pressure isn't getting to them. But in the fourth quarter last night, you know, it was 23-18, and it felt like every bucket was, like, gigantic. It was the same, yep, way in game 3 with the Bucks Sixers or excuse me, the Bucks Nets, where those guys are just kind of getting stops, and then, okay, Durant hits a jumper here. Wow, that's a huge moment. And then Middleton gets one. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of remarkable. I think Simmons had, like, what, 10 points?
11.
I think I was going to say 10 points, I think, like 8 rebounds and 7 assists at halftime. Like, was a lock for the triple-double. And then ended up with 11, 12, and 9. Like, pretty much gave you nothing in the second half. So.
So he didn't score. Him and Embiid both didn't score at all in the second half.
I think Simmons hit one free throw in the second half.
Okay.
Yeah.
He might have had 8 points and scored 3. He might have had 8 and scored 3, but I'm 90% sure he had 10 points and hit one free throw in the second half.
I think that's right.
God bless.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, at the end of the game, wasn't even on the court, like, when they needed a 3. Like, he was on the bench because, obviously, you don't want him to – he's not going to shoot a 3.
They were looking for big shots from Korkmaz. That's what their teammate came down to.
Well, they got him in games 2 and 3, and that's why they won. And, you know, he hit one last night to go up 4 with 2.5 minutes left. So, like,
and then,
I mean
– John hit his big one, and –
seems like this series is a lot closer to even, especially like with Embiid limping around now. Yep. But we'll see when they go back to Philly. Another big series gets back to 2-2. I'm sure Draven's going to want to talk about Paul George coming up. All right.
Playoff P, baby. Playoff P.
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. 2 NBA playoff games last night. Both teams down 2-1. Get a big win at home. The Hawks had to make a big comeback. The Clippers, on the other hand, kind of just dominated from the get-go.
I didn't get to watch a second of that game, actually.
We said there had only been 2 times this season where Kawhi and Paul George had combined for 30. They did it back-to-back games. Now they got 3 of them.
Wow.
Wow, okay.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Playoff P, huh?
Again.
You know what? No, I'm not even going to make this about playoff P. Let's talk about your boy Rudy Gobert. Huh?
Okay, let's talk about
Rudy Gobert because it was crazy. Some interesting stats that I saw, John.
Okay, what'd you see?
I saw that at the end of the third quarter, and I want to say the fourth quarter definitely increased that. Didn't get to see the stats for that, but second chance points was, what, 16-1 for the Clippers at the end of the third quarter? 16?
Really?
To 1?
Man.
Oh.
Wow. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, considering, you know, the Clippers pretty much play small ball.
Yeah.
They don't even have a big out there. So you're telling me your boy Gobert is not getting rebounds defensively. He finished with, what, 8, which is not, you know, as impressive. I mean, you had Embiid, who's injured, have, what, 21 rebounds last night? I mean, not even close to that. You have him not even really do much offensively. Didn't really do anything in the first half. I don't think he had a field goal till the third quarter, I want to say.
I don't think he had an attempt.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, he didn't miss one, so obviously if he didn't have a field goal in the first half, he didn't have an attempt. He was 4-for-4.
Right.
I want to say he might have got dunked right at the end of the third quarter and then scored, I think, 8 in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, no, I mean, they
– garbage time, by
the way. No.
I mean, they were
like 15, 16 point – still like 10 minutes. So he scored a lot at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Like, they're down like 18, so I'm not going to like act like the game was in the balance. But I won't say it's like mop-up duty with 3 minutes left either. But, no, I mean, Gobert obviously didn't have a great offensive game. I don't think anybody on the Jazz did. Mitchell – ends up with pretty good numbers after getting the free throw line 15 times, but even he was missing some bunnies and seemed rattled.
He's trying to do too much, man.
He is.
He has to do too much.
Nah.
They need Conley. They need Conley back.
They got to have somebody else. Yeah.
Ingles was the only one that was shooting well, it seemed like, for him.
They need Conley back, though, and if you're Utah, you're like, okay, let's get, you know, our third best player back. I mean, I think we agreed Conley's at worst their third best player.
Yeah.
Draymond might think he's better than Gobert, so their second best player. But, I mean, either way, like, you need that guy back if you're going to beat this Clippers team. Because the first 2 games in Utah were on, you know, pretty close. You know, the Clippers had a chance to win. It wasn't like they dominated those games. The gap was much wider in L.A. than it was in Utah. So, if I am Utah, we know the Cavalry can come help, but we're going to need you to, like, show up, Mike. We need you to come play, buddy.
Yeah. Also need Clarkson to do something offensively. Yeah. I mean, he's been horrible the last 2 games.
Clarkson's one of those guys that, you know, whenever people talk about the difference between role players on the road and at home, like, point to Clarkson's games 3 and 4. Like, those shots probably go down in Utah.
Yep.
They didn't go down in L.A., and they got beat. Do we have an update on Kawhi? Because Kawhi kind of tweaked his knee with, like, 4 minutes left in the game.
Did you see the post game? He said, I'm fine.
Okay.
He's just like, I'm fine.
Okay.
Well, else do you expect Kawhi to say?
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. But still, I mean.
To be fair, Donovan Mitchell said the same thing and then came up and threw up a 9 of 26. So, like, I don't know if his ankle was bothering or not, but I know he shot terrible from the field last night. And they need, you know, Kawhi to be as healthy as possible. And he's a guy that's dealt with some lower leg issues before. So, but they say he's good?
Yeah. They asked him
okay.
right after the game. He's like, nothing to worry about.
Yeah. I just saw him limping around. I went to bed whenever it was like a 20-point game.
Morris
like
shot 5 of 6 from 3.
Yeah. No, Morris. You know,
he was going in at the beginning.
It looked like game 7 Morris. And Morris is one of those guys that when if he hits his first one, like, he'll have a pretty good game. It's just that he'll throw up a couple of 2 of 11s, too. So, the, you know, the Clippers got Reggie Jackson to help a couple games, and now they got Morris to help this game. So they've gotten a third guy. Kind of wild. Side note, you guys see Rajon Rondo just in street clothes? I guess.
They said, was it knee soreness or something like that?
Really?
You call it knee soreness. I call it pride soreness. Like him and like Ty Lue's not playing him, so he's just like, okay, I'm just not going to dress then.
Man, what a fall from grace. He could have been in Atlanta thriving.
Like the Jazz literally scored 13 points in the first quarter. Batum got three steals. Like, you can't – that's the number one seed in the league.
Yep. No, they came out and the Clippers set the tone early and got up big and then, you know, never really let them back in it. I want to say the closest it got was like 12 or 13 at one point, maybe 11. But, like, I never saw it get back to single digits.
Yeah.
The Clippers won. They took care of business. They took care of home court. Three-game series back in back in Utah.
Yep.
If you're Utah, you're like, this is what we work for home court for. If you're the Clippers, you're like, okay, we got them now. We figured them out.
Yeah.
You want to take back your takes a little bit on the Jazz?
Absolutely not. I think the Jazz went in seven. I said it was going seven yesterday. I think the Jazz went in seven. You want to take your takes back?
Paul George just literally had dropped back-to-back 30-point performances, John.
He did.
And like I said, Gobert just doesn't even have an impact.
He didn't in game four. He didn't in game four.
Obviously didn't in game three, and then you have up 132 points. Defensive player of the year.
He did in games one and two.
Is Conley out for the whole series?
Well, no, the thing was they thought Conley could have came back yesterday. So, like, they don't really know. Like, they're just kind of waiting. Before the game yesterday, it was like, Conley's a game-time decision. Some people think he can play. Some people think he's out for the series. Like, I think it's just, A, he's old. B, he's dealing with, like, a hamstring, groin. Like, I mean, I think it's just,
one of those tough injuries.
One that you probably wake up and feel different every day.
You got to throw him out there, though, man. I mean, this is the golden opportunity for the Jazz. Like, LeBron's out of it. Like, the West is wide open. Like, you would feel pretty good about their chances against beating the Suns, like, in the Western Conference Finals.
I think I said after game two, like, now you just hold Conley out until game five. Like, you had your two. Like, if you're Utah, you're just like, hey, let's win game five and seven.
Win the home games.
So, like, you didn't want to risk Conley back and get him to re-aggravate it in L.A., and then you kind of lose, get deflated, and don't have him. So, I'd be surprised if he didn't play game five.
Yep.
Has there been a team that's been saved by the injury bug in these playoffs?
What do you mean?
Every single team has had such a crucial member go down with some sort of injury, some sort of questionability that's clearly affected the way their team's playing.
So you mean, like, has a team just been able to avoid it?
Have they been able to avoid it? Like, the Suns kind of with Chris Paul?
Yeah, like, they made it through it. They survived it.
The only one that comes to mind is, like, the Clippers been pretty healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, in the East, I mean, DeAndre Hunter's been out.
Serge Ibaka is not a big enough threat on this team.
Oh, no, I forgot about Serge Ibaka. Yeah, I mean, he's probably not, like, one of the main guys. Like, so if you're, like, comparing the other teams who have had injuries, like, Serge Ibaka's probably equivalent to, you know, White Dante in Milwaukee. Well, I mean, the Nets obviously have been just ransacked by injuries. But, no, I mean, it seems that that was kind of the theme of the regular season, and now it's kind of just a war of attrition. So if you're the Bucks, you probably feel like, okay, White Dante's out, but we'll make that trade. With Kyrie and James Harden being banged up, and the Sixers have dealt with an injured Embiid, but he's only missed one game. The Jazz, of course, lost Conley. Clippers have never gotten Ibaka, if you believe the Rondo stuff, which I don't.
Your boy DeAndre, sadly.
I already mentioned Hunter, and then the Suns had to deal with two games of Chris Paul not being able to use his left arm or his right arm. So, it's been a war of attrition. Now, Phoenix looks to be in pretty good shape with Paul now. So they have to feel pretty good. The Clippers haven't really missed Ibaka too much, I don't think, although they might next series. I don't know.
They're taking Zubox minutes, though, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man.
It's been a war of attrition. But no, I'm not taking my take back. I think this is a series that, you look at, and it seemed that the Clippers could easily have won two at home. They did. They took care of business. I still think the Jazz are better. I'm not backing off that. The Jazz are better, especially if Conley's playing. Do you think Clippers still win the series?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
First two games were close. And the Clippers did this in the first series, man. We were like, oh, they're blowing it again. Here we go. 0-2. And then backs against the wall. They're better.
I need to see them win in Utah. Now, maybe they will, and like when they win in Utah, it'll be game seven. I'll be like, well, I guess I was wrong. Or it'll be in game five, and then then the Utah will have their back against the wall going to L.A. But I need to see them win in Utah because there were a couple stretches where the Jazz flipped that switch and went on like 15-2 runs, and the Clippers had no answer for it.
It's also Donovan Mitchell hitting everything. Last two games, he's not hitting everything.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. Now, but again, I think guys play better at home than they do on the road. So That's why they make them play seven. Make them go both places. This has been much more fun than the bubble, though.
Yeah.
I like the difference between, like, you know, home and away. Like, that was missing from last year. It made basically every game the same in the bubble, which gave some exciting games. But I do like, you know, the way it's supposed to be, where both teams get a chance to go home.
Yeah, fans.
Yeah, the Clippers just need those fans. They need to get rid of those cutouts.
It's still weird they're doing that.
Right?
It's still weird that they're doing that.
So you still have Jazz. Draven's got Clippers.
I still got the Jazz. I still got the Jazz.
I would like Conley to come back at some point.
I want to see some Conley.
He's
going to
get D'd up by Pat Bev.
Conley comes back, I think the Jazz will win.
Pat Bev had four blocks. He had four blocks in this game. Do not disgrace Pat Bev.
Say what you want to say. He's a punk. He's the dirtiest player in the game.
What is he doing dirty?
He's got a whole...
He's a punk.
He's out there diving on the floor. He's out there blocking shots. He's out there being aggressive.
He's got a 6-year track record of being dirty. Even like just the stuff. I mean, whatever.
So soft.
If we knew what he said.
Soft comment.
He's the dirtiest player in the league. Somebody's got to be the dirtiest player in the league. Somebody has to be. No matter how tough the league is, somebody's got to be the dirtiest. It's him.
Yep.
He took the title from Draymond?
Yeah, I mean, Draymond got over the nut-kicking thing.
I mean, he kind of sucked ever since.
It wasn't
he's kind of been bad ever since.
Yeah, it hasn't been the nut-kicking that stopped him, but, you know, I mean, Pat Bev's not very good either. I mean, he was barely playable last series. I don't think
four blocks in a game four.
That's fine.
Dean up Mitchell.
That's fine. Played 20
getting
minutes.
Getting in his head, too. Diving on the floor.
That's what he does.
Getting the jump ball with Mitchell. Winning the jump ball.
Winning the jump ball is impressive. You know, Mitchell ripped the ball away from him, though.
Also, a beautiful little poke by on Clarkson
so
there.
You're going to sit here and ride for Pat Bev. What is wrong with you?
He played a great game last night.
I mean,
just because you don't like Pat Bev doesn't mean that we should just disgrace his performance. He was hustling out there.
Hustling.
If anything, he slowed down a lot of momentum they were building up in that fourth quarter.
Let's check back in when he goes to Utah. You got your flag planted, and Pat Bev, who went how many points did Pat Bev score?
Two, but it wasn't about his
offense. No. How many points did he score in the first two games in Utah? How many buckets did he make in the first two games at Utah? Zero? Oh, for eight? Okay.
I can't even think of one.
Okay.
He's on an offensive guy.
Not Beverly.
You know what he's better than? He's better than Rondo, who doesn't even want to be on the damn court. He's better than that.
Next time Pat Bev tries to drive in the lane of a seven-point game and shoot his little jump shot or shoot his little floater in the lane against Gobert, remember that you were sitting here caping for it. Because it cost him game two.
I can't wait until the Clippers close this out in six.
0-8. 0-8 in Utah.
Look at that win for the Hawks, though, in that trade.
There you go.
Like, Lou Williams literally hit a couple great shots for them last night, and Rondo's not
even
playing right now.
I feel like Lou's impact's been kind of minimal. I don't know.
Rondo's been non-existent.
He's in street clothes.
Yeah.
We've hit big shots in the playoffs. Rondo's on the bench.
And we got cash and 2 second-round picks.
Yeah. Win.
I'm not going to say it's the Chris Paul trade, but stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Any other basketball takes for now?
Hawks and six.
Hawks and six?
Yeah. Uh-oh. We're in their heads now.
Hawks and six. Draven, it was not Sixers and five, by the way.
Really?
It wasn't.
Do you want to adjust that again?
Yeah, do you want to go Sixers and six, or?
I think it might go seven. Sixers and seven.
Okay.
Hawks give them a little run for their money.
Okay.
I believe we should have won game three.
Oh, man.
we should have shown up in game three.
Yeah.
Either way.
Hey, still, it's even. We're best of three. Let's get it.
I do think that it's very short-sighted of what the Sixers are doing, though.
Mm-hmm.
Is it championship or bust? Because I feel like, I mean,
yes.
I think that's
yes,
what they
yes,
feel
absolutely.
Like this year for
well,
sure.
I know they got Doc Rivers.
What I was going to say is, like, I mean, you're not winning the championship with Embiid
injured.
Like, he has to be 100%, and you might
not
win with him.
With him off the court, like he's been.
Well, you're not, but I don't think you're going to win with him 100% either, without being less than 100% either. When you saw him last night, I mean, like, that was bad.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know if he re-aggravated or, you know, something happened in the first half to make him go to the bench, but.
Mm-hmm. And he was, like, still listed as, like, questionable before the game.
Oh, you know, I guess the thing with the meniscus, like, he's going to be questionable and day-to-day every, you know, like, he could wake up any morning and count. It's not the same degree of, like, Conley with the hamstring or, you know, anybody with the hamstring.
Harden,
James Harden with the hamstring. But, like, it's one of those things, like, your knee can swell overnight.
Yep.
Just from walking around the day before, so.
Yeah.
my God, I mean, just the same narrative over and over with this team. Just like injuries, just disappointment every time. Like, it's like, when's it going to end?
Really, the process.
At that point, I'd be ready to get rid of Embiid if it's going to be like that every playoff or regular season where you're just getting hurt. It's either injury or just a bust of a season.
I don't know if they can blame injuries if they lose this series.
Yeah. Like, Ben Simmons.
I was going to say, I don't think the narrative is going to be Embiid got hurt. I think it's going to be like the other guys didn't step up. Like, I think if they lose this series, like, you'll see Ben Simmons out of there.
Like, Tobias is a cornerstone that you can actually build around over there. He can be that guy with Joel.
Well, he's fine as a complimentary piece. Yeah, like, exactly. I don't think I'd call him a cornerstone, but, like, I think you're completely fine if Tobias Harris is your third best player. But, like, I could easily see if this happens. I mean, keep in mind who they hired to kind of run the team. Daryl Morey is a guy that, like, loves stars. Like, he, you know, wanted to pair Westbrook and CP3 with James Harden. Like, he wanted to acquire Harden. He loves getting stars. He thinks it's a star league. So, like,
He loves three shooting, too, by the way.
Well, yeah, sure. But, like, I mean, I do think he helped. Like, the Sixers shot 40% from three last night.
I'm just saying, Ben Simmons can't shoot a lick.
You're talking about Ben Simmons. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he also liked Westbrook, and Westbrook couldn't shoot threes either. So, although, you know, maybe that was just a desperation move on his way out. I don't know. But the point was, like, yeah, Simmons will be out of there if they lose this series.
You really think so? Without Embiid.
He's playing. I mean, if Embiid sits the last three games, maybe, but like.
You're saying if Embiid goes out, like, it would not even be. It's about Embiid's injury. It's about Ben Simmons. That's what you're making it about?
Well, this ain't. It's not just from the season. It's just be about, like you said, the same narrative. And, like, hey, we gave it 5 years. Like, in today's game, you have to have somebody that can shoot the ball. Like, there's a lot of talented offensive players out there. Mm-hmm. Do you really need Ben Simmons on defense if you have Joel Embiid on defense?
Not as much as a team if you didn't have Joel Embiid,
right,
for sure.
Or do you, like, look around, okay, let's do something around Ben Simmons for, I mean, if you're Portland, is there a starting point for Simmons for Dame? Is there a starting point at least? Like, the Sixers might have to give up some picks, too, on top of whatever. Dame's better than Simmons. But, like, is there a starting point there? Because I think Simmons can be Giannis light. Not as good as Giannis, obviously, but, like, basically spread the court out, put the right team around him, and let him kind of just be like, hey, I'm slashing and kicking type of thing.
Like, maybe, like,
if you put Ben Simmons with C.J. McCollum, I think that's a better fit. Like, you have a perimeter defender and a guy that can get his own shot that Simmons can get the ball to. Like, to me, that match makes more sense than Dame and C.J.
Yeah.
It'd
be a disaster, though.
You could trade, like, Simmons and Curry for Dame and some picks. Maybe. I don't know if that's something they would do.
Well, I mean, if you're Portland and Dame tells you you want out, like, I think the best you're going to be able to do is Ben Simmons. Like, if you want a player, now, you might do the thing that everyone does, like, oh, we want picks. Give us Jared Allen and picks instead of Ben Simmons. Like, that was stupid. I imagine Houston wants a do-over on that.
Yep.
But, yeah, like, it's been, 5 years these guys have been playing together, basically? And it's either underachieving. Like, it's one thing if they lose to Brooklyn, a healthy Brooklyn team next round.
Mm-hmm.
It's another if they lose to the Bucks or if they lose to this Hawks team right now.
I think that's unfair to Ben Simmons, man. Like, we know what he is. And it's not like he's playing bad. He's still shooting.
That's what helps teams play against him. They know what he is.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I mean, he's still shooting 65%. I mean, averages, like, what, 13, 14 a game? Still an 8-9 assists, like, 8-9 rebounds. Like, it's not like he's playing bad.
Oh, no, I'm not blaming Ben from that. But I'm saying, like, Ben's showing you he can't be the go-to offensive guy. And, like, I don't think we
knew that, though, did we not?
Well, I think – well, yeah, but I mean, like – that's the thing.
He could, like, run a team, you know. Like, I think people thought with his facilitating and stuff, he could, like, play make enough and everything improve.
I still think he can, but I think it's only if with Embiid off the court. Like, it's just about a fit with me. Like, I think it's just the Embiid Simmons fit of, like, okay, this isn't going to work. The spacing's messed up. Mm-hmm. Like, Simmons, like I said, needs to have the team built around him, but we're building it around Embiid because Embiid's better type of thing. I think that would be the decision there is, like, okay, Dame makes more sense, a guy who could shoot. Because, I mean, imagine Dame giving Embiid 35 feet of space.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I got the ball in the high post. Okay, well, here's Dame out, you know, 4 feet behind the three-point line. He could drain this if I kick it out to him.
Gosh.
And like I said, Daryl Morey is somebody who likes to go big game hunting. So, you know, I could see him easily looking and saying, okay, this Simmons thing ain't working. And that, I guess that would be them making him the scapegoat, but at the same time, it's really just acknowledging, like, this team isn't.
Gotta,
like,
do something.
Yeah, like, we gotta shake it up, and we're not gonna trade Embiid because he's, you know, the best big man in the league when healthy.
when healthy, though.
Right.
And he gets hurt. He's gotten hurt the last two postseasons. Mm-hmm. He's pretty much gotten hurt almost every year.
He wasn't hurt last postseason. It was Simmons that was hurt last postseason. Right? Embiid played those against the Celtics.
I think he missed. He didn't finish that series.
Well, it was a sweep, so I mean, he might have set out game four, but I'm pretty sure he didn't. I lost a lot of money on that series. I kept betting on the Sixers, so I'm 90% sure Simmons was out and Embiid was in there and just getting swarmed by the double team and letting Marcus Smart steal the ball from him constantly, which is what Embiid kind of resorted to last night.
Yeah,
he was trying to shoot over the double team, to which Doc Rivers came out and talked about hero ball, which I assume he was talking about Embiid, talking about we have guys wanting to play hero ball instead of play team ball, as Embiid's going 0 for 12 and setting a record over the last 25 years.
You're welcome, Atlanta fans.
Most attempts without a make in a playoff half in the last 25 years. Do you know who previously had the record?
I do not.
Threw up an 0 for 11 in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals in 1997. Michael Jordan went 0 for 11 and a half.
Wow.
So if you're in Embiid, at least that's some good company to be in.
Yeah. True.
See, only me and Jordan missed this many shots and a half.
Have you verified the Embiid?
Yeah, he did. He did play.
He played Game 4 as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I still have nightmares of watching them collapse and not be able to him to figure out the double team. And I'm like, Brett Brown, what are you doing? How have we not figured this out? Yeah, it was Simmons that was out because they couldn't stop Tatum. So, I mean, like, you know, two postseasons in a row, they've had one of their two stars get banged up, which it might just be bad luck. Maybe if you're a Sixers fan, you're like, oh, man, if that ball just had bounced off for Kawhi, we could have won that game. Or, if we were just healthy, this could have been different. But
they're going to be trusting the process to eternity.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Although
they just need a true point guard.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you trade Ben Simmons and you can get...
Like, do you think Kemba can go there and still hold on to Ben Simmons?
No. Oh, and still hold on to Ben Simmons? I mean, a Kemba for Tobias pick, but, like, I don't think
I think you can get Kemba at this point and get rid of some of the other people, like Kormaz, Curry.
Well, the problem is you got to make the money work. And Kemba makes over $40 million a year. So, like, you have to get at least, I think, to, like, 80% of that, 85% of that. Like, you have to get to... basically $36 million in salary, $35 million in salary. And like they won't be able to do that without including either Tobias or Simmons.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Tobias did just make a bag.
Yeah, that's the problem there. But, no, I don't think you're going for Kemba. But if you kept Simmons, maybe. But, I think if I was the Sixers, again, short of winning the title, I might just look and say we could upgrade and even a Bradley Beal for Ben Simmons. Does that make sense? Yeah. For Washington?
I think so.
Yeah.
Give you
Russell Westbrook and Ben Simmons on the same court.
I don't think Russell Westbrook's in your long-term plans there.
He's just hanging out.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I'm the Sixers, I'm not making that move because we have two more years of Russell Westbrook. I would say, okay, Bradley Beal. That would make sense. Again, I don't know if that solves your point guard problem, but solves your perimeter shooting problem. Something to keep an eye on. We'll switch gears after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Segment's brought to you by Kraft Axe Throwing. Promo code FANRUN for 15% off your booking. Located minutes from downtown Knoxville. Go throw some axes with the boys this weekend or tonight. Go do it tonight. KraftAxeThrowing.com. Walk-ins are welcome. I guess we got some attrition from the Tennessee program.
What's new?
We hadn't really had too much of it lately, I don't think.
No, but we still have the most in the entire D1.
Yes.
As far as people hit the transfer portal.
That is correct. Side note, poor Sean Schamberg. Did you see that post yesterday of him trying to clear up some confusion? Because it sounds like the transfer portal wasn't popping for him. He's like, he's putting out a big note trying to explain that he's eligible and all this stuff. And just seemed like he was basically trying to tell coaches, like, you know, there's phone not working with this. Something going on with Verizon. Like, it's a terrible feeling, right? When you send like eight messages and no one's replying. Like, is my phone broken? Like,
I am eligible. It's sad.
You text your boy, can you call me just to make sure this goes through?
Oof.
Yikes.
So that wasn't good. I believe it was Kenny Solomon did like his exit interview with The Athletic after transferring, and that one was even sadder. Man, that guy. He's talking about teams he was interested in.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you know, Clemson told me they're full. And I was like, yeah, man.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah. He's like, Florida's been a little slow. You know, let me know if they're interested. Blah, blah, blah. Then he got down to, like, Tulsa. Tulsa's been hitting me up. Coastal says, like, they're looking at my stuff.
Jeez.
I was like, what are you? Oof. What's happening here? Where you have the gall to admit, like, yeah, Clemson told me they're full. I'm sure Dabo did.
Yeah.
I'm sure Dabo did tell him, sorry, man.
I probably just laughed and hung up the phone.
Seats taken. Who? Kenny. You play where? Tennessee?
She's just busy, bro. She just left you on red because she's busy. That's all it was. Right?
She's actually laughing and be like, what? No.
Sit it.
You're now a screenshot. Yeah.
That's the worst.
And they'll probably send it to you on accident on purpose, sending it to you just that way you'll know.
Oof, that would be the worst. I always see those posts. I'm always like, geez, what would I do in that situation?
I think you just have to never reply.
Yeah.
You ever got a screenshot sent to you on accident?
No.
I have
not. Not that I recall. Have you?
No, not that I know of. I've done it a couple times.
Accidentally sent a screenshot?
Sometimes on accident, sometimes on purpose.
Come on, that's so cold, man. That is about as cold as it gets.
You gotta send the accidental text sometimes.
No, you don't. Yeah. You don't have to send that.
Sorry, wrong person.
To say what you want to say. It doesn't always
just
have to be bad.
It. Just sometimes, be a man.
Sometimes and
say
it can be good.
Like how? Give me an example.
Oh wow, had such a great time with her. She's the best. Great kisser.
Hey, it's just creepy.
The accidental text on purpose. Sometimes you gotta do it. I did in high school send a. This is before the days of screenshots, though. So it was just a text message to the wrong person.
Mm.
Yeah, when I said one of my friends was being lame, but I said a different word for being lame, and I accidentally sent it to him.
How'd that go over?
I played it off pretty well, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Malachi Wideman now adds his name to the transfer portal. Malachi was a guy who was playing basketball too, right? That was trying to be a basketball player as well.
I think so.
I think he had a couple workouts, right?
Four-star wide receiver, 117th in the country, was actually one of Pruitt's biggest commitments. I remember when you poached him from Florida State, you're pretty pumped. You got him out of Florida. I mean, I remember watching the Periscope video. Right? I mean, wasn't there a big video out there on campus and you were so excited to get him?
Yep.
And it What was his career look? What was it like at Tennessee? I know he didn't get any basketball minutes.
No, sure didn't. I believe he had one catch, John.
One catch?
Nice.
Appeared in six games and one catch.
One catch for 24 yards against Kentucky, I believe.
Yep.
Harrison Billy first got in the game and we were down like 38-7 or whatever, 31-7, and he had that nice sideline catch. And you're like, yes. We're getting our ass kicked, but here's a glimpse at the future. And now we don't know if Harrison Billy's ever going to play here. And this guy's like, all right, I'm out of here. Be interested to see where he goes. 6'4.5", 200 pounds. I mean, he's got a big-time body. He was a big-time recruit. So I'm wondering if he has to go down a level or if he's someone that, you know, people could spot and say, look, last year was just a disaster for Tennessee.
It's like, based on what you're saying, a lot of these guys from UT, like, not getting any respect, not getting even a chance.
Well, I want to say Kenny Solomon, like, I don't remember him being, like, a big-time recruit.
Well, no, but.
And, like, he was a guy, I mean, he was a 1,400-ranked prospect in the class of 2019. And he was a guy that they were trying to, like, find a spot for. That was kind of the issue he said he left. It was like, you know, they're trying to move me around defensive back, then back to wide receiver, and he's like, you know, now I'm playing wide receiver for the first time in a while, and I can't keep up, basically is what he said, with, like, how fast hype on them want to go. I'm just now, relearning the route tree. But, like, if you're Kenny Solomon, like, you have to be kind of lacking self-awareness to be like, okay, I've proven nothing in college. Let me call Clemson and see what they're talking about. Now, granted, he is from, like, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, so maybe he felt like, hey.
Sounds like Coastal.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, it might just be Coastal.
Yeah.
You know, that was his last official visit in 2019 before he committed to Tennessee, so, like, they were after him. But, I mean, like, again, he wasn't a type of prospect for Tennessee. So, I think he might be judged a little differently, Draven, at his age especially, than Wideman will, just because he'll be technically still a freshman, and you could go there. And, again, he was recruited by at least, like, Florida State. Which is better than Coastal Carolina and Rutgers. Those were, those were, you know, Solomon's last offers. Or maybe, yeah, maybe the stench on Tennessee is just so much this guy will end up like somewhere like Tulsa. Maybe Ole Miss. Visited Ole Miss before coming to Tennessee. That'd be something. Washington State. I imagine he's not going to want to go to Washington State. Garantano out there.
Play with his boy.
No, thanks.
Connection there.
So, yeah, Weidman not on the team anymore.
So, what are we looking at receiver-wise?
Who knows, man? Do we really care at this point?
Just Hyatt. Yeah. Yeah, Hyatt.
Mm-hmm. You mean, I do care about Hyatt. Yeah.
Bayless Jones, I mean.
I do care about Hyatt. Hyatt is someone I do care about.
Hyatt's pretty good. He'll be pretty good.
Cedric Tillman looked good in that spring game.
I've been a big Ced Tillman fan for a while. Kind of ironically, but maybe he will break out. I was a big Ced Tillman fan just because they would always praise his blocking. And I was like, that's what you want from a wide receiver, just the big guy out there blocking. But all right.
Yeah.
So apparently Weidman was struggling and missing a lot of classes. So I guess like he's just no longer with the team. So, yeah, he's out of there transferring. We'll see if he lands anywhere. He might have to go to JUCO if he's just not going to be eligible. We'll see what his grades are at the end. But, yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, Draven, I haven't gone through a deep dive on the Tennessee roster, the depth chart.
Not there yet?
I'm not going to be there until maybe the week of. Let's get acclimated. You can do that.
Okay.
Let that be you.
Yeah.
You're the knowledge guy when it comes to Tennessee football this year, all right? You carry that load. You're young. You haven't been completely jaded like I have over the last decade. You still.
I don't know, man. I've had some rough years.
You ain't had 20 of them.
Well, at least you've had some success.
When I was like 10.
Something. It's something.
That is true. It is better than nothing.
You remember it at 10, don't you?
Yeah, I do. You are correct. I
probably remember it pretty well.
A lot of it. Now, 98 was a championship season. I remember a lot from that, but I don't. I guess that was really a good year to kind of become a fan, which I liked him before, but that was the first year I watched, like, all the games, I'm pretty sure. I was an 8-year-old. Finally figured out how to, like, turn the TV and how to check what time the games are and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was hard back in the day, man. You know what channel and, like, what time and all that when you're 8. There's no internet. Now kids can just look at
their
phone.
Well, didn't you have the little booklets that had all the games listed out? Didn't they give those out back in the day?
You mean, like, TV guides or, like?
Well, like, it was like a TV guide, but it was, like, for just sports. Because I remember getting those as, like, a little kid, you know? It'd have all the games listed out that was played that weekend.
Tennessee fan. He didn't, like sports. I don't know if we – I'm sure we had some schedules laying around, but I don't know if those ones that had the TVs listed. But still 8, trying to figure out how to work satellite for the first time. Trying to get the regular channels. There was, like, something in the back of the TV I had to go spin to try to, like, get the antenna, like, circulating to see if it could get, like, local channels. It was a whole ordeal, man.
It's a process.
I remember in 90 – was it 96, maybe? Might have been 97. Where about by the time I got the Tennessee Florida game on, I was like, we're already getting killed, and Peyton threw a pick six like right when I turned, like right when I got the TV working. We were winning and then lost like 59-20 or something crazy like that. Ugh. I did have some good moments though. That is correct. So you're gonna be our wide receiver depth chart guy. You're gonna be. I want you to look over this Tennessee roster front and back. All right, it's gonna be a lot of names you're unfamiliar with.
Yeah,
who the hell are these guys? Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. Stick with us.